In other words, some of us already know who or what the man of sin is, and we know the Bible makes it quite plain that the Christians will be here on the earth during the time of the man of sin. If you are interested in a weekly Bible study at home, you write for the January packet, because in that packet we show you how you can obtain weekly church sermons and also these radio broadcasts on tape, mailed to you at your home at no charge. You can listen to them at home, then return them to us for reuse or keep them for further study. But let's go on with the passages which tell us what will be the end of these anti-Christ, anti-human people called the wicked. Paul wrote of them to Titus in chapter 1, verse 10 through 12, and he calls them liars and evil beasts. So let's follow that word on, the word beast, because these totally wicked people are not men, as we think of men or mankind, in relation to Jesus Christ and His mercy and salvation. Peter also uses this same term, beast. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. Peter writes in verse 1 of false prophets and false teachers, and people who will deny the Lord that bought them, or they would deny Jesus Christ. He then reminds his readers of the destructive flood at the time of Noah, which came upon, quote, the world of the ungodly, unquote. Verse 5, and then the burning up of all the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah for their wickedness, in verse 6, and then, after describing these anti-God people, we read, starting in verse 12, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. Several things are revealed here. They speak evil. Therefore, they can talk like men, but they speak that evil against things they do not understand, and they are made or created as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. That they are or will be living among Christian people is evident in verse 13. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. They will live among and associate with God's people while they sport themselves with their own deceivings or their own lies. Verse 14 says, quote, they cannot cease from sin, and it calls them cursed children. They cannot cease from sin. That is the same we read of the wicked in Psalm 58 and in the book of Proverbs. Verse 17 again speaks of their end. These are wells without water, or without the word of God, without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. What do we have here? Well, the same thing we read in the Old Testament. A people who appear similar to other men, but a people totally devoid of God's truth, a people who sin continuously, a people who cannot be saved, brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, a people to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Not one word in either Paul or Peter's writings about preaching to these evil beasts, not one word about converting them so they will cease from their perpetual sin, but instead only a warning to Christians about them and a prophecy of their complete and total end. Turn to Jude, a one-page letter just before the book of Revelation. Jude writes in verse 3 that believers are to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Why? Verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Same warning, same description of ungodly men, and he says of them, they were ordained of old to this condemnation. In plain words, they were chosen of God to be just what they are, haters of Christians and of Jesus Christ. In verse 10, he almost repeats Peter's words. But they speak evil of these things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Verse 12, these are spots in your feast of charity when they feed with you. So like Peter, he warns they would associate with and among the believers, even eating feast with them. Spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, proud they are without water, again without the word, which is called water in both Old and New Testament, without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Again, no conversion, no salvation, no resurrection to eternal life, brute beasts, associating with, and even appearing to be men, but actually creatures so vile and so wicked, God tells us they will finally be totally destroyed. Their existence will be terminated upon the earth. There is much more in God's word about the wicked, sometimes called beasts. Daniel and John both use the same term beast to describe the Antichrist kingdoms of their visions. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:32, the beast, and we know he referred to his preaching with God's word against the ungodly men in that city. He wasn't talking about four-footed beasts, but about two-footed ones. But praise God, we have the sure and certain promise that the world will be cleansed of such. In Matthew 7, Jesus says that many will come to him and claim that they had done many wonderful works. Verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In Matthew 12, Jesus said in verse 32, whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So Jesus verified, there are some who are unforgiven, now or in the world to come. In Matthew 13, Jesus tells us of the end of this age, and says he would send forth his angels, quote, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. At the close of the parable of the 10 servants in Luke 19, Jesus concludes his explanation with these words, but those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Jesus was in Palestine when he said that. Did he mean that those who refused him, those who said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children, those who cried, we have no king but Caesar, those who have been his blasphemers and his enemies in this age, was he saying they would be returned to Palestine at the end of this age to be slain? Well, my time is up. Next week, God willing, we will begin a study of God's laws in the Bible on money and economics. Be with us then if you can, and meanwhile write for the January packet. It will bring you my booklet, Billions for the Bankers, Brings War, Taxes, and Debts to the People. And you should read that now before we get into God's Bible laws on economics, on gold, on debt, on interest, yes, even on the biblical cancellation of all debt. And we'll cover that on the radio broadcast, God willing. You will also receive our article, the great 1976 swine flu caper, with our conclusions as to just what that swine flu vaccine was supposed to accomplish. Since it is now obvious it was not given to save anyone from the swine flu, it must have been given to 40 million Americans for some other reason. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America. Isaiah writes in chapter 26 and verse 10, "Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly." In a land of Christian laws and Christian justice, these people called the wicked remain crooks, swindlers, murderers, and traitors. I believe God's words about the wicked explain much of the so-called organized crime in America. It explains a treasonous foreign policy of cooperation with the world's master murderers, the red rulers of the nations of Asia and Eastern Europe. It explains the continual indecency and the public immorality in our land. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, writing of the return of Christ, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." In verse 8, we read, "And then shall that wicked be revealed." So here is a prophecy, obviously not yet fulfilled, about something which is wicked, a man of sin, and so on, existing after the first advent, but before the second. In verse 10, God's word says of these people, or this entity called the man of sin, or that wicked, quote, "They received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." So here, in the New Testament, we have the same truth we found in the Old, that there exists on the earth some people that God has no intention of saving, some people who do not have the love of truth, and God deliberately did not give them a love of the truth so that they cannot and will not be saved. It is obviously in God's purpose that this should be so. Modern theologians, in their insane desire to put themselves above God, insist this is not true today. They insist anyone and everyone can be saved. All we have to do is get enough money so we can reach them with the gospel. Well, the story of a few men should prove the fallacy of that. One of the world's best-known evangelists claims to be a longtime friend of several of our former presidents, and he should have had ample opportunity to convert them. And yet one of these presidents went to Red China and embraced and praised Mao Zedong before television cameras beamed at the whole world. And another went to Helsinki, Finland, to meet with the rulers of Russia and praised them for their work toward what he called peace. All of those presidents have sold or have given all of our surplus grain and unknown quantities of military equipment, including computer-aiming devices for rockets, to those red Bolsheviks who have sworn to kill every Christian in America. These same red butchers, so admired and liked by American officials, have already murdered upwards of 50 million to 100 million human beings on two continents. Murder so foul and of such magnitude it can hardly be grasped by the Christian mind. Paul wrote Timothy, a few pages further on in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come," and then he tells why. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent," and that means immoral, "fierce," and what does the next phrase say? "Despisers of those that are good." That is what we read about the wicked in the Old Testament, that they hate the righteous They plot against the just. They lie in wait to destroy the upright. Paul says they will be here in the last days. Despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And listen to verse 5. Will they all be atheists and openly against God? Not necessarily. Here's what they will be. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They may even seem to be religious, but they will deny the power of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 24, where Jesus warned of the great tribulation, he said in verse 4 and 5, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ." In other words, they will even come preaching that Jesus is the Christ, saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. Verse 9 says, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you." Who will do that? Well, those who are doing the deceiving, obviously. They will be charming, and they will smile, and will express concern for your safety and welfare, but all the time they will be working to deliver you up to be afflicted and killed. Back in 2 Timothy, Paul wrote in verse 13 of the last days, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." What will be the hallmark of the evil men and seducers in the last days? Deceptions, lies, and tricks practiced against God's people, against the followers of Jesus Christ. I guess the wicked haven't changed much since David wrote the Psalms and Solomon the book of Proverbs. Christian people, of all people in the world, should be most intolerant of great wickedness and the most protected from its consequences. And yet we can see developing in America a whole society which not only tolerates wickedness, but seems to be coming under the control of people who hate Jesus Christ and God's laws. Arizona is currently considering legislation to reinstate the death penalty for murder or rape, and this has brought opposition from people who are opposed to the execution of murderers. Do they love the murderers? Not necessarily, but they hate God's laws. God Almighty spoke to Noah after the flood. He told him to be fruitful and multiply. He told him what to eat. He told him not to eat blood. And the next thing God told Noah was, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." Genesis 9 and verse 3. That is on the seventh page of a 1,000-page collection of the words of God called the Bible. God gave the Ten Commandments, of which most people have reasonable knowledge, and then in the very same covenant, God told Israel how to deal with those who broke the commandments. One statute is in Exodus 21, verse 12, "He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death." For kidnapping, we read this, verse 16, "And he that stealeth a man and selleth him," and that means takes a ransom for his life, "and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death." Those are not complicated. They are quite simple. Any 10-year-old child could understand them, and yet our society as a whole is so infected with the wickedness of disobeying God that people picket the state capitol when lawmakers are considering obeying God's laws. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 4. I must stress this if the Christians are to understand why America is being overwhelmed with wickedness. Proverbs 4, verse 14 through 16. "Enter not into the path of the wicked, go not in the way of evil men, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away, for they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. Violence, swindle, thievery, robbery, confidence games, cruel laws, bribery and payoffs in high places, violence against a whole people, murder and mayhem, are not all the product of some spur-of-the-moment thing by people just like you and me. But God says these wicked people lie awake nights planning hurt and injury to other people. Now, I know this truth is not commonly taught in the churches today. It is not an easy thing to accept. It makes us feel better, much better, if we can be told that everyone is really good. That doctrine is false. And in fact, that doctrine is one of the basic teachings of Marxism or communism, that man is basically good, and if we could only improve or perfect his environment, that he would only do good or perfect things. Many churches today, and some well-known evangelists, try to convince us that all people can be made to do good by preaching Jesus Christ and the Bible to them. But God's Word says no, and the death of Jesus Christ proves it can't be done. The Jewish Pharisees opposed, captured, and killed Jesus because he was teaching the Word of God. Jesus told them in John 8 that they were liars, and in verse 45, "And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." It wasn't because they hadn't heard the truth that they hated Jesus. In fact, they hated Jesus because he did preach the truth. Jesus said they would not believe and could not be converted, and that is a truth we must understand in order to understand the current fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy that the Antichrist would always, always seek to kill Christians. None of this communist propaganda or church nonsense that all men need only to be brought up in a certain way and they will be good men. God says of some people, they are born wicked. From the womb they go astray and are liars. Proverbs 12, verse 5 and 6 say, "The counsels," or the advice, "the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood." Verse 20, "Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, or them that plan evil." If the followers of Christ understood the truth about the Antichrist, they would not be injured and killed by putting their trust in the Antichrist. Now, that hardly sounds like the God preached in Christendom today, but that is the God of the Bible. Vengeance and destruction upon those people who are so wicked, they will not hear the voice or the word of God. But some say, "Oh, if we can just improve their environment, if we can just give them money for the good things of life, they will be good people." Others say, "What we have to do is treat them kindly and let them live among us and see our ways, and then they will see the error of their wicked ways and turn to ways of righteousness." To some extent, the modern church has fallen for both of these false theories. We even hear some say, "Well, the reason we haven't been able to reach these wicked Antichrist people is we have not shown our kindness to them." Well, what does God say about converting the wicked with kindness? Turn with me to the 26th chapter of Isaiah. Verse 10, God speaks, "Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly." No nonsense from God that these wicked people who inherit their wickedness from their ancestors will be turned from their wicked ways by kindness. God says, even in a land where uprightness, or a land where honesty and righteousness is practiced, they will deal unjustly. We should be able to learn that from our own experience. We have enough crooks in America who continually cheat honest people to realize the truth that crooks cheat honest people. It is as simple as that. When we further begin to see the truth of God, that there is a people in America so wicked that they enjoy cheating, robbing, and killing honest people, then we just might begin to understand what one of our national problems really is. Though they live among us, though we treat them fairly and honestly, though we give them all the rights that other citizens have, though we even preach the Christian gospel to them, they will remain wicked. They will do evil. They will not learn righteousness. In simple Bible terms, they will not hear the Word of God. They will never be converted to Christianity. Turn to Proverbs again. Proverbs 10, verse 16. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. To put it another way, the work and labor of those who are righteous produces the necessities of life. They produce health and wealth and good works and life itself. But the fruit or the harvest of the wicked is sin. And sin is transgression of God's laws, according to John. So the final fruit or the result of the thoughts and doings of the wicked tend to be nothing less than the continual violation of God's law. And some may ask, well, Pastor Emery, who are the wicked? Can we know among us who they are or what they are doing that brings evil and harm to our people? Well, to some extent you can. See among us who it is who continually promotes things contrary to God's law. Who opposes the use of Bible in school or government? Who produce, advocate, or want to legalize pornography, adultery, dirty movies, and drugs? Who is it who carries on fraudulent business activities, stock swindles, land frauds, and are masters of all forms of quasi-legal thievery? Whose lifestyle, if you want to put it that way, is antichrist, anti-Bible, and the opposite of Bible justice or honesty? Then look up the word wicked in a Strong's or Cruden's concordance and read the hundreds of references in both Old and New Testament, and you will see God is not talking here about some individuals who are usually fairly good, but are sometimes wicked. There is much more in the book of Proverbs, but turn with me to the New Testament, so you will know this is not some Old Testament philosophy that has now all been changed with the advent of Jesus Christ. Pastor Emery is not one of those preachers who says, well, I know that was true in the Old Testament times, but we're under the New Testament now and everything is different. No, the New Testament does not contradict the Old. They both teach exactly the same thing. We already referred to the first chapter of Romans, where Paul describes people so wicked that God actually gives them over to homosexuality and lesbianism because of their evil hearts. And by the way, some of you Episcopalians, you should read that. Your church is now ordaining to the pulpit both homosexuals and lesbians, and here in Romans 1, God tells us those sexual aberrations are from God upon people because of their hatred of God. Verse 24 through 27, let's read it. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. So much for homosexual or lesbian Christians. It is a contradiction in terms. To put it bluntly, there ain't no such animal. To the Philippians, Paul wrote in chapter 2 and verse 14 and 15, do all things without murmurings and disputings, and he was referring to the work of the gospel, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and sincere, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse people. He referred to the enemies of the cross of Christ in chapter 3 and verse 18, and then said in verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. Whose end is destruction. The end of the wicked is preached in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and referring to the second coming of Jesus Christ in verse 18, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, the glory of God. And that doesn't mean they are going to be in conscious pain, in fire forever and ever, as some teach. That eternal torment doctrine is not taught in the Bible. It is of Catholic and pagan origin. It is not Christian. He is talking here of permanent, everlasting destruction, a permanent end, death without resurrection, if you please. They will be destroyed and not resurrected. That hellfire doctrine is another subject, and I may get into that on the radio sometime, God willing. But if some of you radio listeners would like an in-depth Bible study of hell, you should get my cassette series titled, The Burning Hell, Is It Bible Truth or Is It Blasphemy? I preached 6 sermons on that subject. They are on 3 90-minute cassettes, over 4 hours of Bible exposition on that strange subject of hellfire. And you can have the 3 cassettes for a gift to this radio ministry of $7.50 to cover our cost. 4 hours of teaching on the burning hell, is it Bible truth or is it blasphemy? $7.50 to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010, and we'll repeat that address a little later. You can order that by title, or you can get on our regular tape ministry, and you will receive this radio broadcast and 1 church sermon on either reel or cassette tapes each week. And these are sent out on a free will offering basis. Families all over America are doing this now and getting extra Bible study sermons for listening in their own homes. Back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. These people who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, these people whose end is destruction, are identified in verse 6 as, quote, them that trouble you, unquote. So these wicked people who are slated for destruction are the enemies and persecutors of Christians. Their end is destruction, not conversion. In chapter 2, Paul writes in verse 3 of that man of sin, the son of perdition. In verse 8 he says, and then shall that wicked be revealed. In verse 9, that wicked is described as, quote, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. And what is their end? In verse 10, God says, they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. In other words, God has not given them faith, therefore they cannot be saved. This was apparently a deliberate act on the part of God. Ephesians 2:8 tells us, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So faith and grace are the free gift of God, but the same New Testament writers who tell us that, tell us there is a people who have not received the love of truth and cannot be saved. God goes further, speaking through Paul, in the next verses in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11 and 12, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth. How about that? God actually causes them to believe a lie, so they will not be converted, but will be damned. I wonder how the modern theologians get around that one. Not one word here about preaching to them because they are evil. Not one word to the recipients of this letter from Paul that they should get busy and try to convert these unbelievers. And later we read in 2 Peter 2 that he describes them as natural brute beasts, made or created, made to be taken and destroyed. This fits Solomon's words in Proverbs 16 and verse 4, "The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil." God prepared these people for a purpose, and that purpose is not salvation, but for the day of evil, and then their destruction. We are not looking for the removal of the righteous, but for the fulfillment of true Bible doctrine, that it is the wicked who will be taken away in the wrath of God. Write for the January packet. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the free January packet. We'll also send you my Billions for the Bankers, several other items, a list of our books and tracts, a catalog of Bible studies on cassette tapes, and a few other items, all free for the asking. If you want the three cassette tapes on The Burning Hell, Is It Bible Truth or Is It Blasphemy, please send a gift of $7.50 to this radio ministry. The announcer will repeat that address in a moment. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America.